Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports on CWCP Radio. This is Tony Coppell speaking. When we experience loss, it's a tough thing, isn't it? And normally I'm talking about loss of a close relative, or maybe a loss of financial assets. But today we're going to discuss loss of a dog. Not a dog actually dying and going to dog heaven, but a dog that has served faithfully, no longer being able to do that for a number of reasons. My guest has been blind from birth, and no better person than to explain what it's like when, in this case, a guide dog is no longer with him. Let me introduce you to Mr. André van Deventer. After about 80 editions of the Worcester Reports, André is back. And those of you who've been with us for a couple of years may remember André Deventer, who was interviewed twice in succession in our very early days. He basically educated Lorianne and me about Worcester and about South African living. He has a wealth of experience and knowledge of the customs and the history of this country. And we'd met him because we wanted to learn a little Afrikaans, and he and his wife taught us some Afrikaans at the time. But I'm back to see him for a sad reason, something completely different. If I say the word Nixon, most of you listening will immediately say Watergate. And this Nixon is a different one. This Nixon is a dog. This Nixon is a guide dog that has been with André for a while. Actually, we knew him before Nixon, that's BN, when Laduma was the guide dog. But the circumstances of losing a guide dog for any reason at all, if you can imagine it, if you're blind and something like that happens, this is a tough situation to be in. And I felt that some listeners would like to experience secondhand, and possibly even some of you firsthand, if it happens to you, what this situation is like. So welcome again, André, to Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP.
Tony, it's a huge pleasure, as always, to be with you folks.
And I'm just going to say one more thing about André and Janie. I should say they're probably the best friends we have here in Worcester. And throughout our stay, they've been very, very helpful to us. I'm using a printer that André basically gave me, and it's changed my computing life. So these are people that we are incredibly grateful to. Let's just get down to the subject of Nixon. Last time I was in your house, this beautiful Labrador guide dog was there doing what Labradors do, just being friendly. And just a few days ago now, Nixon went back to the Guide Dog Association. Tell us some of the background of that, and has any of the feelings that you have in this situation, André?
Thank you, Tony. Let me start on quite a light note. When I got Nixon a few years ago on Facebook, one of my Facebook friends' reaction was, "Oh no, we've got enough corrupt politicians here already. We don't need an extra one." Because we had quite fun with, we called him Meneer President, Mr. President, very often. because of his name. Tony, just to give you a bit of background here, for the listeners to understand things better. I got my first guide dog in 2004, beginning of 2004. So I've not been without a guide dog for the last 16 years. I've had three of them. The one was my first guide dog was Jenna. She was a Labrador bitch. My second one was whom Tony knew very well was La Duma. He was a cross Labrador retriever cross. And then the third and last one was Nixon, who is I say is because he's still alive and kicking. He is a Labrador and Retriever cross also. So this is just a bit of background. I had guide dogs for so many years now. What happened actually when Nixon was concerned, there were a few factors which I'll briefly touch on. The first one was actually a very harsh one, and that was finances. Nixon picked up a lot of weight, and he went on to a special diet food, and we simply could not afford that anymore financially. It was a very harsh decision to be taken. Also, I realized that I do not have enough work for a guide dog anymore, which is sad, but it's the truth. If you have a guide dog, you need to use it on a very regular basis. Otherwise, it starts picking up weight and also loses some of its skills to which in which it was trained. And I had to make a decision. What is the best for Nixon at this stage? Because he was just picking up weight and picking up weight. Those were the two major factors actually here that I had to decide on. And when you are not alone, you're married and you live in a household, a decision like this needs to be discussed very carefully. And when I speak about this, I have to give credit to my wife, Janie, who really stood by me and with me in this whole process. I felt it was a joint decision, not just mine. We had to discuss this very carefully. And after a lot of discussions, which also included some factors I will not mention here, we decided, but the best for everyone is that I let Nixon go. What I can also say is I found that with my second cochlear implant, my balance is starting to go quite badly, which means it's becoming increasingly difficult for me to walk with him. At the moment, when I walked with him, I used a stick, not a white cane, but a stick to lean on my other side. Otherwise, I keep stumbling along and I find it very difficult. So all these factors brought us to the conclusion that we have to let him go, whether as hard as it is. And I did contact the Guide Dog Association and asked them what must be done now, because we've come to the conclusion that we can't keep Nixon anymore. And after some discussions, Janie and I decided that we should do this as soon as possible. In other words, if we, now that we've decided, the best would be to have a clean break and do this as much as soon as possible. I contacted the Guide Dogs on Friday, the Guide Dog Association on Friday, just to give them our final decision. And on Tuesday morning, the lady came through from Cape Town to come and fetch him with all his toys. Tony will know that he had a lot of toys and things. He was very fond of playing with his different toys. We packed all of that and said goodbye. Yeah, that was basically the practical thing that did happen.
Can I just come in here? You mentioned your cochlear implants. For the listeners should know that you're not only blind, but you're also deaf.
Yeah, hearing impaired.
And in case they don't know this, there are quite a lot of people around who are both blind and deaf. It's a strange statistic that you should be afflicted with blindness and deafness as well. But it happens. I wonder if next, instead of talking so much about Nixon's situation now, let's discuss the value that a guide dog brings to a blind person. You've got huge experience. I'd like everybody to know just how valuable that dog is to you.
It's your independence. It gives you the independence to move around on your own. Especially when you're living alone or when you're two blind people living together. Of course, that independence is very important. I am lucky that my wife, although she is both hearing and sight impaired, she still has some vision, so I can move around with her. The problem was just that she's so much smaller than I am. She fits under my arm, basically. And it's very difficult to walk sighted guide with somebody who is so small, so much smaller than you are, because you sort of have to lend to bend down all the time, and that meant I could walk with her with the guide dog. I would walk with the guide dog and she would go in front. Now still, that does not give us enough distance or enough to walk around I'm sorry, English is not my first language, as your listeners will know, so I'm trying to get the right kind of words. We still did not have enough work for Nixon. Yes, so that is it. Your independence, mostly.
But maybe there's more to it than that. A dog, I've heard it said that some people, when asked in surveys who they would rather lose, some women, their husband or their dog, they'll sometimes say they'd rather lose their husband.
Oh, that's very true.
So it's much. This dog is more than just a guide dog to you, right?
Yes, it definitely is correct. It becomes your companion at home too, although its main purpose is as a working dog. It becomes your companion. I would go so far as to say, I think the bond is deeper than with an ordinary pet. Because remember, that dog is your eyes, and in my case, to some extent, your ears also. So there must be a bond of trust. And in order to create that bond of trust, I firmly believe that means that a bond of love must also exist between you and your dog. This is my personal belief, is that you cannot be a guide dog owner and not have that special emotional bond. I've seen this sometimes with people who have guide dogs, and they look after, well after them. They give them enough water and enough food, and they exercise them. But then when they get home, it's like, I would almost say a machine, that you've used a machine. They are not dog people. I don't believe you can have a guide dog if you're not a dog person, especially when it comes to discipline. Because discipline does not mean shouting and screaming at your dog or whatever. Discipline, to a great extent, has to do with a love bond that you share. It means talking to him while you're at home, stroking him. I always tell the story of my first guide dog, Jenna. It was very interesting. She had that type of temperament that she would go and lie down somewhere in the house, and I would be busy with on the computer. And then suddenly, after about half an hour, I'd feel this wet nose under my arm, stopping me literally from typing, just as if to say, hey, listen, don't forget I'm still here also. And then we would chat, and I would scratch her and so on. And then she'd go back to sleep. And then after another half an hour or so, it would be the exact same story all over again. So there's that type of thing, that after hours bond, while you're not working. And I think people underestimate the value of that type of thing, because that is actually also helps with discipline, because that bond is just so much stronger.
After having three guide dogs, how long does it take to develop that trust that you mentioned?
They say that if you get a new guide dog, it takes between 6 months and a year for the dog to actually settle down. My personal experience would be more towards the 6 months and earlier period. But it does take time. It depends on the dog's personality, on your personality, and then, of course, on the circumstances in which you live. But I would say it depends almost more on your personality, because they so want to give love in return that the onus rests on you, actually, as the owner of the dog. But you must start immediately when you get your dog.
Here's possibly a difficult question for you. But if I were interviewing Nixon and he was able to talk, and I was saying to him, you have just left Andre, who you've been with for quite a while now, what are your feelings about your life at this time, Nixon? What do you think he would say if he was able to talk?
Well, I would hope that he said he would say he was very happy here. I do believe we gave him what we could, what was able for us to give. Tony, with my experience, I get the impression that they are actually, it's harder for us when they leave than for them when they leave. I tell you why I said that. Let's take Nixon as an example. He, when he left on Monday, we took all his toys to the car and packed his food and everything. And he jumped into the car and lay down on the seat. And I went to say goodbye, and I actually had difficulty in getting a reaction from him. And you will know Janie always liked to give him a kiss. And she went to go and do that, to say goodbye, and he looked almost irritated. To him, it's another adventure coming on. I think they have simply been shunted from pillar to post so many times in their lives that they're used to saying goodbye and beginning again. I think you must remember when they were born, they were at the Guide Dog Association. After 6 weeks, they go to a puppy walker for about a year. After that period, they go back to the Guide Dog Association. After that, they go to an owner. Nixon had an extra one, because he was then placed at an owner who died. And he went back to the Guide Dog Association and then came to me. So I suspect they are so used to starting at new places every now and again that it is not so traumatic as it is for us, actually. On the one hand, I would almost say that makes you glad, because you know he won't suffer emotionally very much. But on the other hand, you feel, well, did you really not matter that much in his life as people? And it's a difficult sort of thing. You're sort of torn in two where that is concerned. Remember, if you have a dog which you raised as a puppy, and then after years you must get rid of him for some reason or other, that would be a different thing, because you raised him. I did not raise Nixon. So I think the thing is actually more traumatic for the owners than it is for the dog itself, because the dog itself will go to a place where it can simply rest and relax.
Is that where Nixon has gone now? What's his next place?
We don't know yet. He's too old now to retrain, because as I said earlier, I got him after his previous owner died. So at the moment he's at the Guide Dog Association, where there are about 8 dogs, 4 dogs of the head of the association in Cape Town, and then 4 other retired guide dogs. So he's going into a whole family for a time, and then he will go to someone. They still have to find a home for him. But there are actually quite a few people who will, who are actually, who would like one of these retired guide dogs. So officially, he's retiring now.
So he should have a pleasant life for the rest
of
his life?
Oh, definitely. He'll be spoiled rotten. That's what happens to them. That's perhaps why this is a situation that they don't miss us so much. No, you'll be spoiled absolutely rotten, and here you'll make friends with everybody.
Probably put on more weight as well.
No. I think he might be walked a bit more than I did. He was actually losing quite a bit of weight for the last month or so on this diet food.
So let's now look at what the situation is for you going forward. You're in a different environment than you've been for many, many years. One could say you're on your own, but of course you're not. You have Janie with you. But how will your life change on a day-to-day basis going forward?
It's not so easy to answer that one. I think what one must remember, you're in a grieving process, almost a mourning process at present. I will, of course, not be as independent as I used to be. The thing for me, which is the most difficult situation at present, is that it feels like the end of an era. Like you're starting a new season in your life, a new chapter. I've always believed that we go through life in different seasons, and that changeover is not always the easiest thing. Especially my looking at my situation at the moment. Luckily, for my last two guide dogs leaving, I have a wonderful wife who is really supporting me in spite of her own grief about this situation. Because it's hard for her also. She was very fond of Nixon. As I say, that happens because when you don't live alone, you've got another person involved. And we speak about this thing quite often. It's never easy to change seasons in life because you leave one thing and you don't really know what will come after that. And unfortunately, I am in that position now that I don't know what will actually come after this season in my life. But it's as long as you keep aware that you must give yourself time to work through this process. You can't really, on the one hand, you can't pretend that everything is normal as it always was. But on the other hand, I believe that it is important for you as a person to get into your normal routine as quickly as possible. Because otherwise you start brooding on this too much, which I don't think is psychologically good for you, I believe. But to find that balance is not the easiest thing. Sometimes, let me put it this way, sometimes your heart says one thing and your head says another. It's like any kind of grieving process. or mourning process, because you've lost a family member. With my previous two dogs, it was easier because the one left while the other one came in immediately. So this was easier because you had to immediately focus all your attention on the new dog. The difference now is that Nixon left, but there is no new dog. But it's a difficult situation. For me personally, the future feels uncertain at the moment. But I think, although you will never quite get over such a loss, I think time may dampen things. That you will still miss your guide dogs, but you will start living around that.
Yes, thank goodness time does have a tendency to do that as things happen in our lives. It feels awful at first, and it's a question of how long it's going to feel awful for. But I hope and I wish, and Lorianne I'm sure would join in with this, that in your case this will somehow become less and less of a pain, and that you'll be able to live with it and you'll be able to manage without Nixon. It's going to be tough, though. It's going to be very tough.
It is going to be tough.
And it's also going to be tough on Janie, because if you do need to go out anywhere, she'll have to go with you, and so on.
So, yes, that's very true. But as I say, I am a very lucky man in that I have the support of a wonderful person who's also going through her own changes and things. As I say, I've always believed in communication, to speak to each other and support each other. So I am a very lucky man.
Well, that's a nice spot to end on. Thank you, André, for telling us about one of life's tough moments that some people, I'm sure, will relate to, and other people may never have thought about it, and now they have thought about it. So God bless you. May you get stronger and stronger in your mind and in your heart as time passes on. I know you'll never forget Nixon, or Laduma for that matter, but that's good. Remembering good memories is good, and that takes your mind off the sadness. So bless you, and thanks for coming back on CWCP Radio for the third time, André. You're the champion.
Tony, it was a huge pleasure as always, and I feel very honored to have been able to share my experiences with your listeners.
Thank you, André. And Nixon. Normally at this time, you would be about to listen to Lorianne's Ways to Grow in God. And she's not with me tonight for a reason that's associated with our last program a week ago. On that very day, at that very time that we would broadcast, her mother was being commemorated for her life. She had died on January the 9th, and this was the day of the funeral. If you'd like to hear something about Lorianne's mother, Carol Zacher, then go to last week's program on the podcast, and I think you'll find it enlightening and moving. But now, on this program, we have Chapter 11 of Jasper Clouté's book, Legacy. We've been serializing this, and all the previous chapters are up on various podcasts if you want to go catch up. This chapter is called Vision of a Three-Generational Society. If any of you have wondered what is the theme music that I've used to introduce this,
It's an instrumental piece from an album that my son James was involved in back in about 1996, called Chronological Disorder, when he was at Leeds University in England. I don't think the album was ever published, but it's got some good music on it, and this piece, I feel, sets the scene nicely, and thank you, James, for letting me use it. James is also the continuity man on all of these CWCP programs. He's the one who tells you the name of the station and broadcasting from South Africa. Legacy, Chapter 11, Vision of a Three-Generational Society, The Struggle to Significance, Journey of a Business. At the time of writing this book, the year 2017, the results of having lived in a one-generational mindset society in South Africa for the last 100-plus years has produced a society where core social values of a one-generational society. The size of the economic pie is considered a fixed entity. With more and more people being born, they're considered a threat to the survival of the world's population. Let's kill the old people, euthanasia. Let's kill the babies, abortion, and anyone else that is culturally different from us, as xenophobia. There is no longer a moral compass based on an absolute truth. The new golden rule is, he who controls the gold makes the rules. The current world functions on a religion of compromise, where the current holders of power, whether through media or politics, demand of the others to compromise their values and beliefs. We now have the me, my, and I citizen who feels entitled to things he hasn't worked for or helped build. Workers will go on prolonged strikes and ruin their own family economics to insist on unrealistic wage demands. Students have now caught up with this entitlement spirit and demand free education. Where their demands are not met immediately, they go on a destruction spree and destroy books and infrastructure that will cost millions, even billions, to repair, and in doing so, take opportunities away from their children, condemning them to another cycle of poverty repeated. Consumerism and materialism. This is where a person needs to get to a position of power as fast as he can, and even kill people for it, which regularly happens during government elections, so that he can abuse the position of power to enrich his family and show off to his friends and family on how important he has become. Who cares if I waste resources? It is the problem of those who come after me. This plays itself out in the various spheres of society as follows. Politics. South Africa finds itself at a very interesting period where the values that the current leading political party stood for over many decades have become seriously eroded through factionalism and corruption, and there is a strong chance that the country could have a new political structure by 2019. Africa, as a continent, is slowly waking up to the reality that the long era of donor countries may have come to an end. These donor countries are now faced with their own internal problems of economic and political uncertainties. Where the problem of refugees, for a long time, was a phenomenon specific to Africa, it has now spilled over to Europe and is fast changing the demographic, cultural, economic, and political landscape. Political infrastructure. Due to the short-sightedness and corruption of governments, investment in infrastructure has been delayed and in many cases is absent. The little maintenance that gets done is done poorly with an attitude of, what can I get away with as cheap as possible so I can put the rest of the money in my pocket? This problem is further exacerbated by the current government, who got rid of senior and experienced people in all sectors of society in order to make way for their cadres, and in doing so, destroyed institutional experience and skills that were built up over decades. These inexperienced and unqualified replacements now oversee multi-billion rand institutions and infrastructure with little or no understanding of the consequences of their mismanagement of resources. This is causing the collapse of infrastructure of roads, water supplies, electricity, school buildings, and government offices and buildings. This collapse in basic services is causing frustrations to the local communities, which in turn spills over into destruction, burning, and looting every now and then. Education. With education outcomes still designed to create employees for an economy that used to be driven by manufacturing and mining, and to a small degree agriculture, it has now created massive problems with 95% of school leavers unable to find a job in a modern economy. In South Africa alone, it is estimated that over 30% of people are unemployed. In many cases, one income earner, often the granny surviving on a government grant, is supporting up to 12 family members. Instead of using the 12 most impressionable years of children's lives to develop their unique skills and train them on entrepreneurship and how to create employment, they have been programmed on how to look for a job. When employment can't be found soon, the young people give up, give themselves over to a feeling of hopelessness, and often get sucked into a life of gangsterism or drugs or alcoholism. Church and religion. Instead of people finding their true identity and purpose in their personal relationship with their Creator, church and religion has become their temporary crutch. Since many people feel they are failures and insignificant, they become easy targets for so-called spiritual leaders that promise a sense of security and belonging and abuse these dependent relationships to enrich themselves. Some churches are doing wonderful community work with a sincere heart. Yet these efforts seldom present lasting results, since the community who they are trying to empower is still stuck in a one-generation mindset. Economy. Only a few generational families in any society focus on the long term. The majority of the citizens in any society are just concerned with surviving another day, week, month, and year. The banking sector specializes in designing attractive products that give you easy credit and then sucks you into a life of over-indebtedness. The insurance industry keeps on designing products that sell you on the fear of the future and keeps you occupied with pay-as-you-go products for which you can show nothing even after having paid your medical and short-term insurance premiums your whole life. Equipment, furniture and other products are no longer designed to last a long time, but have become fashionable items to be replaced as often as possible. Advertising gets in on the act by playing on our feelings of being failures and feeling insignificant, by getting us to buy products that we don't need, with money that we don't have, to impress people that we don't like. Families. There is little cohesion left in families. As soon as the kids leave their parents' homes and get married, they fall into the same debt trap as their parents before them. Soon we all end up as little islands living lives of quiet desperation. While the parents are still alive, there may be the occasional family event, but this soon stops when the parents pass on. The sad reality of the one-generation society is that if we can't even look after ourselves and our immediate family, how can we then be expected to take care of our elderly in their old age? Media. Bad news sells. Media in general has become the main tool to control the minds and behavior of the masses. Towards the latter part of 2016, the national broadcaster of South Africa dominated the news due to the blatant way they manipulated the news that was broadcasted to the majority of South Africans that were dependent on the free television subsidized by taxpayers' money. Fake news is now so rife on all social media platforms that the average man in the street does not know what to believe anymore. Imagine a three-generational society. Families. Because of the sacrifices made by the founding parents who started the transition for the family line from a one-generational family to a three-generational family, every child from an early age knows how special they are and have a high hope and expectancy of the future. Growing up, that child gets exposed to a variety of opportunities in sport, art, various disciplines, to allow the child to discover his unique skills and get developed in those skills. The parents have access to a strong family fund, which allows them to send the child to the best schools in the world. As the children grow up and go through their teenage years, they attend special ceremonies designed to make them feel special and supported in whatever life choices they make. The family has strong networks, and when the children explore their future career opportunities, they get the opportunity to do practical work and gain real-life experience in every possible field they may wish to try out. When the children finish school, they can choose to attend any university of their choice and for which they qualify. When the children turn 21, they receive the keys to their own property, fully paid for. They can choose to let it out or live in it themselves, with the only rule that they continue to pay the rent as if they would be renting from someone else, and invest this rent money into a trust that they have started for their own bloodline family. Children wishing to start their own businesses have access to the family elders to look at their business plan and approve an interest-free loan from the family fund to kick-start their business. The generational family will have built great national and international networks of trusted relationships so that any member of the family can go anywhere in the world and get help. The members of the generational family have very reduced lifestyle costs in terms of short-term insurance and medical costs. Over the years, the family has pooled the costs going into these items and reinvested the surplus into income-producing assets, where the income from these assets now exceeds the actual costs of these items for the family. The senior members of the family spend their senior years very fulfilled, where they are the elders and mentors and actively part of the ever-increasing expansion of the family businesses nationally and internationally. As they become frail and need support, the family fund makes adequate provision that they have all the medical and other support that they may need. Throughout the lifestyle of the members, they receive clear direction from the mentors who have gone before them. The various customs and rituals of the family also contribute to the fact that they grew up with a sense of purpose and belonging from an early age. Communities. In today's fast-paced world, where people are shut off relationally from each other through technology and the social media, the question is, how would a three-generational society function? Imagine a community where there is no unemployment because the local community, through their strong relational networks, have gone back to the historically proven system of training the youth through apprenticeship programs. There are strong functional community chambers of commerce operating. These chambers have integrated the resources and skills of the business community with the skills and resources of the local community support organizations and churches. It further has a good collaboration with the local municipality and ward councillors, where the resources and projects are identified and executed in a true community partnership. Through effective collaboration of resources between local government, churches, business, and the community, the existing resources are now 10 times more productive than before, since the duplication of unnecessary activities and structures are eliminated. Through effective collaboration, people can now be released in their true giftings and strengths, which in turn improve the productiveness of the members of the community. Making use of the latest trends in mobile banking, coupled with a flexible loyalty program, money now circulates within the local economy, which grows wealth for all the participating families. Crime has become almost non-existent. Since no one has the excuse of being unemployed any longer, except by choice and laziness, and through a spirit of caring for one another and being on the lookout for the good of one another, it is no longer as easy for criminal elements to do their thing. By bringing the word community into the idea of a chamber of commerce, there is now a seamless integration of big business contracting out to medium companies who complete their contracts through small and medium enterprises. All these entities in turn take mutual stewardship for the economic well-being of their communities and are actively involved in sponsoring bursaries for gifted students and participate in various community upliftment projects. They further oversee a community fund whereby up-and-coming business can be supported financially. Government. Imagine a government that operates in a three-generational society where corruption has been rooted out since all the leaders in government and civil service understand the three-generational message and its implications of being a steward of our resources. Not only do they understand the message, they have all started their own three-generational family journeys. Only the best and most qualified and experienced people are elected to leadership in government and civil service, with a further criteria that they have proven their commitment to growing their family to be a generational family. The days of manipulating the public with false and unrealistic promises are over. Since every family is seriously attending to the task of growing their families into generational families, they no longer take kindly to corrupt officials and politicians who mismanage resources or make unrealistic false promises. The importance of government's function in society is clearly understood, and families and communities work together with the education system to identify and groom future leaders from a young age. Through exposing these young people to critical thinking exercises and case studies and training them in generational values, there is a growing and well-qualified pool of new leaders entering the market annually. Government has been trimmed to offer the bare essential services and rather free up the economy and society to the public to find creative solutions for society's problems. The laws have been reviewed, and any law that was found to be detrimental to freeing the economy and rewarding entrepreneurship has been recalled and replaced with empowering laws. Education. What would the education scene look like in a three-generational society? Imagine an educational system where children from an early age get exposed to various types of learning modes to identify the one best suited for them. Once their core learning mode is identified, they then get placed on an educational path where they continue their education, working mostly from their strong learning mode. The community has agreed on the core generational values they want to pass on to their children, and this value system is now part of the curriculum. The education system is designed to give priority to the development of entrepreneurs. About 3% are born entrepreneurs, and a further 22% could learn to become entrepreneurs. For the sake of this book, we define entrepreneurship as the ability to identify needs and develop solutions, mobilize resources of skills and money, and build sustainable delivery systems. The early part of the school curriculum, say up to grade 9, is to give children basic training and exposure to equip them in basic financial literacy, reading and writing, and the various subjects they may want to specialize in later. After grade 9, they start to specialize in their various career paths. The education system, by focusing on entrepreneurship followed by practical skills, is starting to produce the 30 to 40%. This projection includes people specializing in skills other than being an entrepreneur of the workforce that knows how to create gainful and sustainable employment for the rest of the workforce. With a true entrepreneur able to create sustainable employment for at least 100 other people, unemployment has been eradicated. Whatever subjects they learn, it is further cemented by applying critical thinking. This requires the sharing of case studies at their level of readiness so that they can see the application of what they have learned. Coupled with case studies to learn critical thinking, students get to do stints of apprenticeship in their chosen career paths. In the early part of their studies, they are allowed to do short stints of apprenticeship in a variety of disciplines until they've settled on a career choice. Government is providing tax incentives for companies that provide apprenticeship programs. Although a first priority will be to identify entrepreneurs at an early age, the education system is designed to make every student feel important in their career choice. Children showing gifts in all the areas are able to choose their own direction. Some of these children may even spend longer in school whilst they get exposure to a variety of options. School buildings and facilities become community projects and the facilities get to be used during daytime and after hours, as well as over weekends, combining children and adult training. Education has largely been given back to the community, and families are given huge tax incentives for money spent on education. Education and the development of teachers are no longer controlled by a central authority, but it is left to the local communities to determine the quality of teacher they need for their children. These teachers, in turn, are considered based on their understanding and application of the three-generational message and principles. Business and economy. Imagine a three-generational world where business and the economy function on a basis of laws for SMEs have been adjusted to place minimal administrative requirements for small businesses, less than 5 million rand turnover per annum. Such businesses could even be exempted from taxes since they already contribute to the tax base through value-added tax. Low company taxes of about 15% for the rest of the businesses, provided they can prove how they are taking stewardship in their local economy by assisting local small businesses, sponsoring charities, and building local community infrastructure. The current social grant system, which promotes more dependence and institutionalizes poverty, is replaced with a system of economic incentives whereby people are encouraged to acquire new skills or are rewarded for working on community projects. Generational products and services are developed that incentivize the user to take better care of his own and his family's health and risk management with generational rewards. There are additional tax incentives for large and medium businesses to empower smaller businesses and do skills training. Tax breaks for companies that develop good remuneration programs for their workers. All government-owned land and housing to be sold or given, rent to own, to the current tenants, title deed, to kickstart the economy and teach people the value of ownership. Make it easy to hire and fire people. In a three-generational environment of building long-term businesses, there will be competition amongst employers to attract the best. The cooperative banking system becoming a bigger player in the national economy by developing special member beneficial products and services, for example, GIG's LoanLink Share product. In my vision of the future, I see an extremely scaled-down role for national government and most of the services the government tries to do, to be made the responsibility of the community and the family. Church and religious institutions. The three-generational mindset is not restricted to a specific religious group, but speaks to any family regardless of their religious and cultural background. All that is required to excel as a three-generational family is to be serious about building for future generations. In this context, I see a much stronger role for religious institutions to play the following role in a three-generational society. Help to define the core mutual generational values that will help us build generational families and communities. Teach these values at every occasion. Actively participate in the upliftment programs of local communities and maximize the use of resources through collaboration. Be the driver for the initiation and operation of community projects like schools, old age homes, hospitals and clinics, and skills and business incubators. Art and entertainment. We are in desperate need for new, inspiring role models. Imagine a three-generational society where the struggle to significant stories of the various families are celebrated in books, films, radio, and TV dramas. Successful actors and sport stars are given special support and training on the generational values to ensure that their value as role models continue long after their acting or sports careers are over. Media. The one-generational mindset media operates on a basis of promoting fear and assumes a mindset of scarcity as the truth. A three-generational mindset assumes abundance and operates on hope. Imagine a media that runs stories and programs that entrenches the generational values of the community, develops articles and documentaries that teach people how to unlock potential and maximize resources, holds public figures and government officials to a moral standard based on the agreed generational values and principles, do news and programs on anything that gives people hope.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
And that was the penultimate chapter of Legacy, and I hope you learnt something and found it interestingly told. Now we're going to finish today's program in a slightly different way. While I was interviewing André van de Venter, I noticed in his box of CDs, yeah, I know he's deaf, but he still loves music, an album, and this is what it's called. Koos van der Merwe sings Bob Dylan. And since Bob Dylan is one of my favorites, I couldn't resist asking him if I could borrow it. Well, I've just listened to a little bit of one track. So instead of our normal soaking prep music, you can soak to Bob Dylan, sung in Afrikaans. We wish you a great week ahead before we are here again, hopefully, with another edition of the Worcester Report. God bless you all.
En al weet ek dat die aanserei verkrummel weer tot sand en verdwijn weer uit my hand. Los my in my blinde stand te moek verwoorde. My vermoeienis verbaas my op my voete uitgebrand. En niemand vat my hand. En die leeue oor ou straat te dood verdrome. Hey meneer die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. Ek sien vaak nie. Ek het nergens waar ek heen kan gaan. Hey meneer die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. In die wysies van die môre sal jou spore my lei. Neem my op een reis daar op jou tuig wat warrel toe. Al my sintuie verloor. Geen greep het ek meer oor, my toon het om verdoof. Hulle wacht maar vir my stevens, vir een wandeling. Ek gereed en ek kan ooral gaan, gereed om te vervlou. Waar ek my parade hou, toer jou danse oor my gou. Ek wens vir jou betovering. Hey meneer die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. Ek sien vaak nie, ek het nergens waar ek heen kan gaan. Hey meneer die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. In die wysies van die môre sal jou spore my lei. Dalk hoor jy die lach en tol en malle, zwaai verby die son. Het dolle jaag en dom, allemaal jaag om weg te kom. En daar is geen grense buiten net die hemel. En hoor jy vaag weg wachelreimpies wat nog ergens draal. In die tamboerijnse taal, is net een arm naar wat waal. Wat jy uit jou kop moet haal, want hy jaag maar skaries wat jy daar sien wemel. Hey meneer die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. Ek sien vaak nie, ek het nergens waar ek heen kan gaan. Hey meneer die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. In die wysies van die môre sal jou spore my lei. En
En help my deur die rook verdwyn deur nevels van die gees. Deur tye lank vergeet, verby blare ysig koud, bome van verskrikte hout, verwaaide strande sout. Ver van die wrede klou van gekke smarte. In die sterrelig wil ek kan dans met een hand wat vry kan waai. Een silhouet daar in die baai, die die circus sand omring. Met my lot en my geheer, die die golwe weggeveer. Ja, laat my van vandag vergeet tot morgen. Hey meneer, die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. Ek sien vaak nie, ek het nergens waar ek heen kan gaan. Hey meneer, die tamboerijn, man speel een lied vir my. In die wysies van die môre sal jou spore my lei. In die wysies van die môre sal jou spore my lei. Hoeveel paaie moet een man eers loop, voor jy kan sê hy's een man? Oor hoeveel oseane moet die wit duif vlieg, voor sy kan rus in die sand? Ja, en hoeveel keer moet kanonkoels nog vlieg, voor iemand dit verewig verband? Wil jy die antwoord vind, dit waai daar in die wind, my vriend, die antwoord waai daar in die wind. Ja, en hoeveel jare moet die berg eers bestaan, voordat die see dit verslind? Ja, en hoeveel jare is daar mense wat bestaan, voordat al vryheid sal kan vind? Ja, en hoeveel keer sal een mens weg kan draai, en blyf voorgee, hy is heel te mal blind? Wil jy die antwoord vind, dit waai daar in die wind, my vriend, die antwoord waai daar in die. En hoeveel keer sal een mens op kan kyk, voor hy weet dat die blauw lig bestaan? Ja, en hoeveel ore moet een mens dan eers hê, voor hy kan hoor hoe val het traan? Ja, en hoeveel sterftes moet daar nog gebeur, voor hy weet daar te veel reeds dood gegaan? Wil jy die antwoord vind, dit waai daar in die wind, my vriend, die antwoord waai daar in die wind. Wil jy die antwoord vind, dit waai daar in die wind, my vriend, die antwoord waai daar in die wind. Dat jy my liefde voel.
Ek weet ek sal vir jou besluit moet wag. By my sal jy nooit seer kan kry. Ek het geweet op daardie eerste dag. Daar's geen twyfel waar jou hart moet bly. Vat my kos of slaan my swart en blou. Laat my kruip op paaie hart en grauw. Ek sal doen wat ek moet doen vir jou, dat jy my liefde voel. Vir jou waar kan maak. Daar is niks waarvoor ek stuit of staak. Sal tot die einde van die wêreld gaan, dat jy my liefde voel. Vandaag nog als ek al ontdink, heren dan hoe die tranen wink. Van hy was een vriend van mij. Hy het op die pad gestaan. Hy het op die sy reis besoek toch na vrede, ja, hy het aan hom swerf, en hy was een vriend van my. Want my reis was een soektocht na meer, ek kon nergens tevredenheid kry, maar hy was een vriend van my. Hy was een man soos my. Selfs 1000 mijl van sy huis met liefde die kwaad oorwin. En hy was 'n vriend van my. Reis. En aanvaard het jy se gou hier week en vereis. Het die tyd wat jy het vir jou waarde, dan beter jy swem of jy sink en verdwyn. Aan die tye word het verander. Skrywers wat met julle pen profeteer, maak op julle oe, die kans kom nie weer. En praat nie te gou nie, want die wiel draai nog steeds. Wat onthul wie sal weet wie se name, want vandag se verloorde en môre wel weer. Van die tye word het verander. Kom ministers, presidente, asseblief toch kom hoor. Versper nie die pad nie, moet die weg nie verloor. Want jy gaan op sier kry, wat verkwaal van die soel. Hoe die strijd buiten voet, al hoe kwater, wat jou venster sal skit en jou mure keerboor. Van die tye word het verander. Om moeders en vaders reg oor die land, hou op kritiseer wat jy nie verstaan. Jou seuns en jou dogters is nie meer in jou hand. Die ou wiese einde kom nader. Kom help met die toekoms, los jou stoere hou stand. Van die tye word het verander. Die streep is getrek, die vloek is gespreek. Die stadig is nou, sal die vinnig is wees. Soos die hede van nou, die verlede sal wees. Met die orde wat breek, soos die brande, soos die eerstes van nou, die laaste sal wees. Van die tye, o dit verander. Dit verander.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Laat die klokke lui, o heiden, in die stad wat droom. Laat die klokke lui uit die tempels van vallei en stroom. Wat daar diep en daar wyd, deur die wêreld spruit. Maar die tyd loop agteruit, net soos die bruid. Laat die klokke lui, Sint Petrus, waar die vier winde waai. Laat die klokke lui, met die ysterhand, laat die mense verstaan. Die gejaag, die gesoek, op die wiel en die ploeg. En die son sak oor die heilige koei, want is laat genoeg. Laat die klokke lui, lieve Martha, vir die arman seun. Laat die klokke lui, laat die wêreld weet, God is een. Oor die herder en uil, waar die wilgers huil, en die verdwaalde skape op die berg kan nêrens skuil. Laat die klokke lui, ons is blind, ons is dood. Laat die klokke lui, want ons bly nog oor. Laat die klokke lui, die gekiesdes is min, maar die menigtes oordeel, as die einde begin. Laat die klokke lui, vir die tyd wat haal, vir die kind se traan, as ons kom vergaan. Laat die klokke lui, Sint Katharien, uit die heiligdom. Laat die klokke lui, uit die skuiling, vir die lelies wat blom. Daar is linies gereed, die gevegte gestreed, en die scheiding word vernietig, tussen reg en verkeer. My lief, sy praat saans. hy weet niks slag soos mislukking en mislukking slag Ceremonies van die ruiters moet selfs pionne weer raak kry. Vier ookie beelde tuimel val saam na benede. My lief knipoog, sy het vrede, sy weet te veel om te oordeel of stry. Middernacht die brug aan skerwe, die kontrei niggies wil perfect wees en geskenke van die wijse manne by. Die wind huil soos de hamer, die nacht waai koud met trane. My lief, sy soos a raad, met haar afwerk by my ruit. In die tyd van my belydenis, in die uur van my diepste nood, waar die trane by my voete elke nuwe saad oorstroom, en een stem wat sterf hier in my, gryp die ruimtes in, die vroegens daar waar sied is, sonder lied, die hoop verdrink, my foute en my gister, wil ek vir eens vergeet, soos kyn sien ek die kettings, wat ek weet dat ek moet verbreek, in die woede van die oomblik, sien ek een meesterhand, in elke blaad, in elke korrel sand. Hoe die blomme van vergrype en die onkruid van wel eer, het my blydskap en gewete misdaad saboteer. Die son verskoon die tree van tyd om my paai te beleef, om die pijn van my verveel en verval te kom verleef. Ek staar na daar die ingang waar versoeking toornig vlak, en telkens as ek daar verbind, dan hoor ek weer my naam. En as ek verder aanreis, begin ek dat elke haar geteld is, soos elke korrel sand. Armoede na rijkdom, in die nacht sy hart sien reis in die hevigheid van een somersdroom in een winterlikse ijs in die bitter dans van eenzaamheid wat die ruimtes in verdwijn soos die stikkende spier van ons kant in vergete gezicht te skyn en oor oud is die voetstap soos die golven van die zee soms draai ek om en daar's iemand daar maar soms is ek alleen hier staan ek op die weegskaal van die mens en sy bestaan soos elke smalkie neerval soos elke wil hy dat ek moet gaan niemand wil meer langs my staan omdat ek geloof in u hy wys vir my die deur hy wil my nooit weer terug laat keer want ek maak nie meer soos hy wil hy Alleen moet ek vertrek, verwijder van my plek, maar dis nie iets om ek, omdat ek geloof in u. Ek geloof in u, deur die trane en deur die blydskap. Ek geloof in u, selfs al voel die baie ver. Ek glo in u, tot die donker nacht verbygaan. O, as die môre aanbreek, o, na die nacht met dag breek, o, ek voel het steeds hier in my hart. Heer, help my, as ek dwaal, sal u my kom haal. Kom maak my heel en maak. En hoe betaal ek ooit die prijs vir wat ek by die krijg en al sê al wat vir my hoe ek geloof in die dat ek sal bly staan
hou my brose hart weg van die planne wat hul maak. En ek, die pijn sal ek verdra, ook as die riem sou val, ek weet ek sal volhard, omdat ek geloof in u.
You have been tuned to CWCP Radio. The next program in this series will be in a week at the same time. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you. CWCP Radio is now in sleep mode.